But they put us on a train then up to the port at Newport News, and that was where we loaded on the Liberty ship, the William Mulholland, and for our little journey across the North Atlantic. I want to cut it off here and roll the rest of my... Ready?
Yeah, so now that was...
That was in December of 1943 that we loaded on the Liberty ship, William Mulholland, at Newport News, Virginia, one night about 8 o'clock. And I never will forget the First Sergeant Lilly says, as soon as you store your gear in the hold, come back up on deck and we'll talk to you. And so we got back up on deck, and he was saying, now you've all heard about how a lot of men get seasick, and when you're out at sea, and this seasickness is all in your head. Says if you think you're going to get seasick, you probably will. But if you have a positive, you know, attitude that I'm not going to get seasick, why, 9 chances out of 10, you'll be in good shape. So I remembered this because, like I say, we loaded on that night, and the next morning moved out into the bay, and the following morning, the convoy began to form. I got up on deck the next morning, and boy, there were ships everywhere. As far as I could see, there were Liberty ships, just all kinds of ships. And they were getting in line for the convoy formation. Well, we took off then, that day the convoy started. Out on the perimeter of the convoy were Canadian corvettes and American destroyers. And they said, I never did see it, never did get close enough to see it, but they said that we had an aircraft carrier with planes, you know, available if they were needed for U-boats, and out way out on the perimeter. The weather we hit off of Cape Hatteras, Virginia, there, the third day out, was some of the most terrible stuff that they'd had in a long time. And I mean, everybody on that ship was seasick. Crew and everybody, I never will forget going up to the head to check my cookies, and this one sailor came running up and shoved me aside and said, move over, buddy, our sailors get sick too. And Bill, you can't describe the mess and the smell. That while we were in the forward hold of this Liberty ship, where you went down a ladder down to the floor of the whole forward hold, and they had these bunks 5 high in there that we were sleeping in. Well, the morning that we hit that rough weather, they had trays that we ate on. What they'd do at mealtime, they'd put up these stands and then make tables, and we were served, and they'd take them back down, and you could have more movement in the hold. Well, anyway, they had the food trays, aluminum trays, stacked up in the corner over there, and when we hit that rough weather, those trays, that whole stack of trays turned over, and boy, it sounded like a machine gun. I was in the top bunk of it. Picked up and pulled my head. What the hell? I thought, boy, we've hit us. The submarine's got us, you know. That's the first thing I thought about. And then I could tell it was just the rough seas. You know, man, it was rough. And, of course, the guys immediately began to get sick. But to get up to this head, we had to go back up a stairway about 10 steps on either side. And then this bathroom was in the middle section of the ship. Well, the ship would roll over. Of course, the plumbing all got stopped up, you know, and it was just overflowing. There was about 4 inches of water on the floor. Well, it would roll, ship would roll up like this, and you see guys hop in the water and run out. And they'd be standing there trying to relieve themselves. And then they'd jump up and they'd go, oh. Oh, it was horrible. You can't imagine. I can't even describe what a mess it was. And if you wasn't sick then, when you went up there to that place, you sure would be. But my good buddy, Monk Winans, a boy from Catskill, New York, he was so seasick, he liked to die. Boy, the only thing that he could keep down on his stomach for that full 21 days that we were at sea was sour ball candy, a little round ball, real sour, you know, that they sold us there at Camp Patrick, and the squadron medical officer was really worried about him, you know, because he just was getting in bad shape, and some of the others too. But anyway, we kept feeding him those sour balls. And he survived, of course. Well, anyway, we this Liberty ship had troops in the forward hole. We were in there. There was an engineer company that was in there with our 89th Aerodrome Squadron. There were about 350 men in the forward hole. And on the back of the ship, they said we had bombs and ammunition that they were carrying, you know, as a Liberty ship freight. We passed through the Straits of Gibraltar. I got to see the Rock of Gibraltar as we went by there. Of course, we were several miles off coast, mm-hmm. but you could see it very plain, like the TV commercials, you know, recognize the shape.
Mm-hmm.
And the Liberty ship, that night that we were in the Mediterranean before we got to Oran, I really enjoyed you could get in the bow of the ship and look at the water, and boy, where the prow of the ship was cutting through the water, it looked like diamonds, you know, just sparkling. Boy, it was beautiful. Anyway, we arrived at Oran, port in Algeria there. That was where we docked, and then they took us by truck convoy out to a little camp about 10 miles from town, tent camp. We were there for 3 weeks, and boy, it'd get cold at night because it was right on the Mediterranean coast, and it'd be cold at night and hotter than blazes in the daytime. And I got a cold, and it kept getting a little worse and a little worse, and it kept going on sick call, and finally started running fever. And the doctor, squadron doctor, told me that you come back sick call tomorrow, I'm going to put you in the hospital. And with that fever, well, I knew if I went to the hospital, I'd be taken from my unit, you know, and they'd move on, and I'd be assigned somewhere else. All my friends were gone on. So I just proceeded to take aspirin. We had plenty of aspirin, and but it didn't really help too much. I just kept, you know, getting worse and worse. Anyway, they said we were going to be moving shipping, and so they hauled us by truck into Oran, and we loaded on the little train boxcars. In World War One, they gave them the name 40 and H, 40 men or 8 horses. And so then we went by train 2 days and one night over to Algiers, and had put us in another tent city for 3 nights there on the coast. And of course, I was still, my cold just kept getting worse. I didn't go on sick call. And so then we trucked down to the port of Algiers and loaded on another transport, the old Dutch luxury liner, the Johan de Witt, and that the British had got out of Amsterdam, Holland, ahead, just ahead of the Germans, and made a troop ship out of it.
Mm-hmm.
As you can call it that, it was really horrible living conditions. They had two commodes for 350 men. And the very first night that we were on that thing, it came down with the GI's diarrhea. And it was the biggest mess you ever saw. Guys, you know, stand in line, they'd see they wasn't going to make it, and they'd just run up on deck and hang over the side. They had a wooden rail, and the next morning the side of that transport was just brown. And you couldn't keep from, it was serious, and you couldn't keep from worrying about it, but you couldn't keep from laughing at the same time. You'd see a guy standing standing in line, and he'd stand it just as long as he could, boy, and then he'd take off up. Oh, it was terrible. Anyway, once the ship cleared the harbor that first night, I went on sick call because I knew, you know, they'd have to take me then. The convoy was already moving. So I walked through the door of the sick bay there, and this Captain Metzler, the squadron surgeon, he said, "You're going to bed." I said, "I know it. I feel like it, too." And then we moved on down through the Mediterranean toward the Suez Canal, and the Germans, of course, still had an air base on Crete, out on the Crete.
Yeah.
And that was a big worry, but boy, we hit bad weather. But it was welcome, you know, because we knew the weather was so bad that Germans couldn't fly in that kind of weather anyway, so bring on the bad weather. And anyway, I was in this outside, they had 3 rows of bunks, double-decker bunks in this sick bay, and I was in one next to the wall and on the porthole side. And they had this row of double-deckers in the middle of the wooden floor of this whole ship, and it was just screwed to the floor. Well, boy, we hit this rough weather with the ship rolling from side to side, and it didn't take long for that row of bunks to pull loose, those screws to pull loose from the floor, and this one old boy in the top bunk right across from me saw it was going, and he just jumped over on top of me. And the Navy medical corpsman that was in charge of the sick bay, the door slammed shut on his arm, broke his arm. The pill cabinet turned over. Boy, it looked like snow on the floor in there. The pills all strung.
Mixed up.
Oh, yeah. And but by this time, I was beginning to feel a little better. And after about 5 days, while we arrived at Port Said there at Suez Canal entrance, and starting, I was able to feel like being up on deck. I was released from sick bay, thank goodness, so I got to see the scenery as we entered the Suez Canal. And it took us 1 day and one night and part of another day to get through the Suez and then down into the Red Sea. And then we refueled at Aden down at the foot of the Arabian Peninsula.
Mm-hmm.
And spent part of a day there in that harbor. And then we took off again. There was three transports with escort. And we didn't know where we were going then, but we were in the Arabian Sea and found out that we were headed for Bombay. So we came into Bombay, and it was just about a month after we came into Bombay that a troop ship was involved in a terrible accident there at the harbor of Bombay. A ship blew up, sort of like the ship that blew up at Texas City, you know, fire in the hole, and had explosive substances in there that blew up, and a lot of guys were killed on that troop ship that was trying to unload. But anyway, we were quartered there in Bombay at a British RAF, Royal Air Force, cantonment area there in the edge of town.
Mm-hmm.
And we spent about 15 days there waiting, I guess, trying to decide what they was going to do with us, because by this time we realized we weren't going into Italy.
Well, now, how long had it been since you had left Virginia?
Okay, we left Virginia on the 13th of December, 1943, and I believe we arrived in Oran January the 5th or 6th, and then we left Oran about 31st of January, I guess, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember the exact date. And then arrived at Bombay February the 13th, I believe it was. So we were about 60 days at sea.
February of what year?
February of 44.
44, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
No, let's see, it's later than that. It was about February the 25th that we arrived in